So today I'm going to tell you why the right way to build a causally consistent data store that scales is to actually not build a causally consistent data store. In theory, causal consistency is great. It provides a sweet spot in the fundamental trade-off between higher performance and stronger guarantees that anybody who has designed a replicated data store has faced. And there's a long line of exciting research in building scalable, causally consistent data stores, starting with COPS in SOSP 2011. So is causal consistency the most widely used consistency model out there? Not even close. It's more like the middle child of consistency models. The reality is there's little, if any, industrial adoption, and the largest web applications in the world are actually powered by eventually consistent data stores. Since these and other similar applications could benefit from the balance of stronger guarantees and high performance that causal consistency provides, the question is, what is the reason for this status quo? In this work, we tackle a phenomenon called slowdown cascades that has long been pointed out by the industry as a key reason for the reluctance to adopt stronger consistency guarantees. Most recently, in a 2015 HotOS paper by engineers from Facebook. Current causal systems are vulnerable to slowdown cascades because their design makes an implicit assumption that all machines in the data store provide similar high performance. In reality, though, the situation looks more like this. Since at scale, having performance anomalies, like one machine running slower than the rest, are common. This reality, when combined with the enforcement of causal consistency in the data store, results in a picture that looks more like this, where a set of machines are waiting directly or indirectly on the slow node, causing a slowdown cascade. So let's explore this further through an example. Consider a social network which is backed by a replicated and sharded data store. Let's focus on three people using it. There's Alice, who is a grad student, much like me. Alice follows Justin Bieber, also like me, and is friends with her advisor, who is currently traveling abroad for a conference, and so accesses the data store through a different replica than Alice. Now, let's assume that Alice is scanning her newsfeed and she reads Justin Bieber's latest update. She then remembers that her advisor had asked her to schedule a talk on her recently accepted NSTI paper. So she uploads her paper and then creates an event with a link to the paper. The three writes are causally ordered, as you can see on the slide. The key point here is that in current causal systems, write W3 cannot be applied to data center B until W1 and W2 have been applied in order. In our example, this means that the PDF and Alice's event creation are buffered, respectively, at the black and blue shards in data center B, waiting for Justin Bieber's update to be applied. Assume now that Justin Bieber's update is slow to replicate. This is possible, for instance, if the red shard is receiving abnormally high traffic. Now, assume Alice's advisor, unlike my own advisor, is not a believer. Still, he cannot read Alice's updates, even though he never reads from the red shard. The slowdown of the red shard has cascaded to the black and blue shards. The key point here is that slowdown cascades affect all previous causal systems because they enforce consistency inside the data store. Here's an example of a slowdown cascade in a causally consistent system. Without any slow nodes, the average queue length of buffered replicated writes, the blue line in the graph, remains stable. However, when a single node is artificially slowed down, the average queue length on all other nodes, the red line in the graph, grows arbitrarily. To solve this problem, we built a system called OCCULT, which stands for Observable Causal Consistency Using Lossy Timestamps. The key idea here being observable causal consistency. So let's find out what that is. Let's first revisit the definition of causal consistency. Let me give you a moment to look at it. Notice that this specifies that a client observes a monotonically non-decreasing set of updates that respects potential causality. Current causal systems strengthen this spec by enforcing consistency inside the data store. But that is not necessary. Instead, if we can avoid paying the cost of enforcing consistency in the data store, but somehow ensure that clients observe a data store that is indistinguishable from a causally consistent data store, then that is sufficient. And that is exactly the approach that Occult takes. So now, let's see how we can ensure that clients observe a causally consistent data store. For instance, what metadata do they need? Since somehow they need to track how their local state depends on the state of the entire data store. In order to do that, let's first look at what metadata needs to be kept by the servers, since the client-side metadata is going to be derived from it. We use a master-slave replication model on a per-shard basis. Writes are accepted at master shards and then asynchronously, but in order, replicated to all the slave shards. Each shard, master or slave, keeps track of a shard stamp, which counts the writes that have been applied to it. The client metadata is simply then a vector of these shard stamps, which identifies a global state across all the shards. We refer to this as a causal timestamp. You can think of a causal timestamp as the number of writes the client knows from each shard. When writing, a client attaches its causal timestamp to the write to propagate causal dependencies to any later writes. In this case, client 1 writes to object A on the red shard. The master then does three things. First, it increments its shard stamp to reflect the fact that it has a new write. Second, it merges the shard stamp by taking max with the causal timestamp stored with the object. And third, it sends the shard stamp back to the client to merge into its own causal timestamp, as you just saw in that animation. Clients can always read safely from master shards without violating consistency because master shards always contain the latest object versions. On a read, the causal timestamp stored with the object is merged into the client's causal timestamp so that later writes by the same client can be causally ordered after it. Notice that the entries of the causal timestamp stored with object B are all greater than or equal to the entries of the causal timestamp stored with object A, which indicates that the write to B is causally ordered after the write to A. Replication is asynchronous and unordered in the same way as an eventually consistent system. At remote replicas, writes are applied immediately without any waiting. When receiving a replicated write, each slave increases its own shard stamp using the causal timestamp attached to the replicated write. For the purposes of this example, assume that the replicated write to object A is delayed. When reading from a slave, a client now has to do a consistency check. In our example, the question is, does the gray shard have all the writes that the client 3 now knows from that shard? If the answer is yes, the read goes ahead normally. Here's the key point here. Object B is causally dependent on object A, which has not yet replicated to data center B. But client 3 can still read the freshest value of B. If the consistency check fails, then we say that the shard is stale, possibly missing writes that the client should read. The client has at least a couple of options in this case. It can retry from the local slave of the red shard, or it can pay the extra latency cost and read from the master of the red shard, which is always safe. At this point, you may be wondering, if the number of shards is huge, which is often the case in practical systems, will it result in massive metadata overhead? That's where causal timestamp compression comes in. Let's start with the straw man scheme. To compress a causal timestamp down to some size n, we simply conflate the values of shard stamps with the same shard IDs modulo n by taking their max. So consider this example. Before compression, the client holding this causal timestamp knows 1,000 writes from shard 1 and 13 writes from shard 3. After compression, it thinks it knows 1,000 writes from each of these blue shards. Notice that compression does not violate consistency but creates false dependencies. The client will wait for 1,000 writes to be applied when reading from slaves of shard 3, which is clearly unnecessary. To solve this issue, we adapt for our purposes a scheme first proposed by Adia and Liskov. Instead of counting writes, shards use their system clock value at the time of a write as the next value of the shard stamp. This means the shard stamps of shards that have recently received a write will be close to each other independent of the number of writes that each shard has received. So for active shards, conflating entries causes fewer false dependencies. We still have a problem, though, that shards with relatively far apart shard stamps can be arbitrarily conflated because we are using modular arithmetic. To resolve this issue, we use the insight that recent shard stamps are more likely to create false dependencies than older ones. So we focus the resolution of our causal timestamp on storing exact values of only the most recent shard stamps, resulting in a causal timestamp that looks like this. All dependencies other than the n minus 1 most recent dependencies are conflated into a single catch-all shard stamp by taking max. Using this technique along with the use of the system clock value for incrementing shard stamp that I just discussed earlier, false dependencies were reduced in our experiments to around 0.01% of all reads using just 4 shard stamps for a system with over 16,000 logical shards. All right, now for my favorite part of the paper. Occult is the first causal system to support general-purpose transactions. And what's really cool is that we support them while continuing to avoid slowdown cascades. So bear with me for a couple of tech slides as we briefly sketch transactions, and then we'll look at an example. First, let's identify the properties we want in our system. Obviously, atomicity is a must for any transactional system. Given that we are working in a causal system, we also want our transactions to read from a causally consistent snapshot of previously committed transactions. Finally, we want to be able to preclude concurrent conflicting writes because they are difficult for applications to handle. In keeping with the ethos of the system so far, we want both properties A and B in an observable manner. So similar to the single key protocol, we'll not keep the data store consistent with regards to transactional atomicity or causal ordering of transactions. Instead, it is sufficient for transactions to observe these properties. This is helpful for avoiding slowdown cascades, even in a transactional system. So this allows us to develop a protocol that has a couple of nice properties for scalability. First, in contrast to similar systems, there is no need for a centralized timestamp authority for ordering transactions. This prevents unnecessary dependencies. For instance, between unrelated transactions that just happen to commit at the same replica or data center. Instead, we order transactions in a decentralized way using causal timestamps. Second, due to the observable nature of properties A and B shown on the slide in gray, transactional writes can replicate asynchronously once they commit at the master, like they would in an eventually consistent system. So this leads to a simple three-phase protocol for transactions which uses optimistic concurrency control. In the read phase, clients read objects from their local or master servers while writes are buffered at the client. In the validation phase, clients use causal timestamps to validate the three properties that we've identified above. And finally, if validation succeeds, then in the commit phase, the transactions write back any buffered writes in an observably atomic way. Now let's look at an example. Alice and her advisor are managing lists of students for 3 courses, each of which is on a different shard. As you can see, list A is empty, and Bob is the only student on list B, while Cal is the only student in list C. Our example will show how Occult, using a single mechanism, enforces both atomicity and reading from a causally consistent snapshot in an observable way. First, Alice needs to add Abe to course A, so she performs a transaction where she reads and then writes to list A in order to keep things concise. I'm going to skip details of this transaction for now and show you the end result after commit. Note that list A has been updated, and so have the causal timestamps on the red shard. Next, Alice needs to move Bob from course B to course C. As you might imagine, this needs to be done atomically. Alice reads both lists and then writes B as an empty list, and C with both Bob and Cal added to it. Remember that writes are buffered at client until commit. So again, to remain focused, I'll skip some details of the validation and assume that it succeeds here. Now here's the key idea. To make the writes of the transaction observably atomic, we are going to make them causally dependent on each other. This is done by assigning the same causal timestamp to all writes at commit, such that this commit causal timestamp reflects the knowledge of all the writes in the transaction. In order to do that, during validation, each shard returns its next proposed shard stamp to the client. The client merges both shard stamps into its own causal timestamp, as you saw in the animation. And then the client attaches this causal timestamp as the commit timestamp with these writes. So as you can see, after the commit of transaction T2, the causal timestamp of list B also knows about the write to list C and vice versa. And both of them know about the causally preceding transaction T1. As I pointed out at the start of this transaction section, one useful property of the protocol is that once transactions commit at master shards, they can replicate asynchronously to slave shards without any coordination. Surprisingly, this does not affect our ability to enforce atomicity. So in this case, assume that only the write to list C replicates to the slave of the blue shard, while the writes to list A and list B are delayed. All right, so now let's see how atomicity and reading from a causally consistent snapshot are enforced on the data center B. Alice's advisor tries to read the lists in a transaction. So since his causal timestamp knows no writes at the moment, the gray shard is not stale for him. So the read succeeds. As he reads objects, the client constructs a read set containing metadata related to the objects that he has read. This will be used when the transaction is validated. So as you can see, the read set is now containing metadata for the write to list B. And then again, as he reads list C, it's maintaining the appropriate metadata. Now here's the key point. As you can see, right now, atomicity for transaction T3 is being violated at data center B because Bob is in both lists. When the read set of transaction T3 is validated, the client will detect that list C's causal timestamp knows more writes from the gray shard than were applied to that shard at the time list B was read. This indicates either an ordering or an atomicity violation, and thus the transaction must abort and retry. Finally, transaction ordering violations can also be caught and corrected in the usual way. For instance, if now the professor tries to read list A, then the client can conclude that the red shard is stale. All right, now let's take a step back and return to the protocol. Let's expand this validation phase a little bit. What we've just seen is an example of how validating the read set can be used to verify properties A and B in an observable way. Another part of the validation verifies that concurrent transactions do not make conflicting writes to objects, or in other words, verifying property C. Unfortunately, I don't have the time to go today into the details of this, but it's an interesting part of the protocol and one of the many joys you'll get from reading our paper. All right, now let's see some evaluation. So here's the setup for our evaluation. We implemented occult by modifying Redis cluster, which also forms our baseline. We evaluate on Cloud Lab across two data centers in Wisconsin and South Carolina. We used 20 server machines, each running 4 instances of the server process. We used the Redis default of 16,000 logical shards, which were divided across these 80 server processes. And 16,000 is also the uncompressed length of our causal timestamps. For the results we show here, we use the read-heavy workload of YCSB, which is the Yahoo Cloud Serving benchmark, using a Zipfian distribution of operations. Finally, the evaluation we show here is intended to demonstrate the cost of providing observable causal consistency in an eventually consistent data store, in our case, Redis cluster. Here we show performance of occult relative to the baseline measured in terms of raw operations. The x-axis shows increasing number of operations per transaction and is relevant for the line representing the occult with transactions only. The black and blue lines representing single key occult and Redis cluster, the baseline, are actually a single data point measured at peak good put and are not varying with the x-axis. And on the y-axis, we are showing good put, which is different from throughput. So good put counts retries for resolving stale reads as a single operation. Also, for transactions, it does not count operations done for aborted transactions. So all operations all experiments shown here used 4 shard stamps per causal timestamp. Overall, single key occult had only had like a 8.7% overhead over Redis cluster. Transactions added a further overhead ranging between 31% and 40% on top of that. Almost all of this additional overhead for transactions was due to lock contention on very hot objects, given the heavily skewed nature of the YCSB's Ziphion workload. So this graph shows the latency distribution of reads in occult with and without slow nodes. The blue bars represent the latency without any slow nodes. As you can see, even as we add slow nodes to occult, the 50th, 75th, and 90th percentile latencies remain the same as without any slow nodes. This is because reads to non-slow nodes are unaffected by the presence of slow servers, since occult is by design immune to slowdown cascades. The only time when you have to pay a cost is when reads actually hit a slow snail server. In that case, enforcing consistency can mean going to the master. And as you can see, in the presence of slow servers, the tail latencies spike. So to conclude, enforcement of causal consistency in the data store is vulnerable to slowdown cascades. This problem can be resolved by leveraging the observation that it's sufficient for clients to observe causal consistency. We built a system called Occult that uses lossy timestamps to provide this guarantee. Observable enforcement can be extended to causally consistent transactions as well in a way that avoids slowdown cascades. And finally, a key insight that we use is that transactional atomicity can be observably enforced by making writes causally dependent on each other. Thank you, and you can take questions now.
Usual protocol, come up to the mic and introduce yourself, please. Either that or I ask questions.
Hi, I'm Scott Fritchie from VMware. So in the compression of the causal clock, if the validation that the client needs to do falls into that catch-all bin, then is your only choice to issue a read to the master to solve the lack of information in the catch-all?
So did you ask about the validation of transactions or just like single key operations?
Both, sure.
Both. So for single key operations, you have the option of actually doing retries to the local slave because maybe the replication lag, like there's some replication lag and replication can catch up and you can read it from the local server without having to go to the master. So you can retry. In the system, we actually have a hybrid policy where we retry like n number of times where n is configurable, and then with exponentially increasing delays between retries. And then after n tries, we read from the master. Okay. So that's worked pretty well for resolving stale reads in the single key system. For the transactions, when you're doing the validation, we are assuming that like anything that you've read has already been like consumed by the application that you've already shown it to the application. So like if you're validating a transaction and you see that like because of let's say that catch-all bin, you find out that the validation fails, then there's no option but to abort the transaction and then retry. So for validation, you can't do do a consistent read again. You have already read the thing, the value.
Okay, thank you.
So if you have something like true time, which
yes.
gives you extremely accurate system clocks across
yeah.
a large space, what would you do differently?
So if I true time, then I guess you would be able to compress the size of the causal timestamps even more. Like maybe you might need just a single timestamp per data center, like or you know you would be able to reduce the metadata overhead, I think.
What do you do about buggy clients?
What do you mean by like
ones with errors in the code that don't conform to the thing that you'd like them to do?
So we don't explicitly currently solve for buggy clients right now. You're asking in the sense that they can, do something that would violate, like.
So you have an interesting protocol here,
yeah,
spread
yeah.
across the clients with,
yeah.
for correctness. What
yeah.
could possibly go wrong?
That your client actually, because the clients are being responsible for tracking consistency, somehow they do something that actually violates that. So that's true, but you could also have like buggy server code that does that. So the solution is maybe to not write buggy code.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.